child's brain, as I did.
In the night, find the night.
The force surrounds you, Ray.
It is burdened with
kindness. Feel the force flowing through you, Ray.
Let it lift you.
Rise, Ray.
We stand behind you, Ray.
Lies in the force. The heart of a Jedi lies her strength.
Rise. Ray, the force will be with you. Always.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop. And with me today, as always, in this galaxy far, far away, Sam Stepanenko.
I am not your father.
Thank Christ.
You're so lucky I'm not your father.
And the timeline doesn't add up.
And Grand Moff Trish.
Nice. I'll be Grand Moff.
Yeah, they have short life expectancy.
Well, you know, I'm just different moths.
Yes, we are back again, once again, on this trilogy that has been started with Force Awakens when it was essentially a stealth remake of A New Hope. And because our fans demanded it, we carried it on. Initially, we started it way back in episode 23.
Yes.
Which was when we compared A New Hope to Star Wars Force Awakens. And unbeknownst to us, we did it again after popular demand with Empire Strikes Back and The Last Jedi, which just ironically wound up being exactly 100 episodes later.
The Force made it possible.
The Force did make it possible.
It was. So we couldn't resist doing it again.
It's a trap!
So here we are at episode 223 to do the last of the trilogy, of course. Spoilers ahead. I think we only really do this with newer movies that are currently in the theater. So,
and we don't do them very often.
And this might not be in the theater by the time you hear this. Just in case.
If you've not
spoilers
seen it
ahead,
yet.
If you hadn't seen it yet, if you're waiting for streaming, VOD, even that
the
mystical thing called a Blu-ray.
The streaming might come along really quickly on this thing, I would think, with Disney Plus.
It's possible. It depends on what the pre-licensing looked like. But, I mean, Aladdin's already on Disney Plus, and I couldn't
believe
it was there.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really quick to get people's eyes back on them, right?
Yeah well, with a lot of the, I think almost all the original programming is currently ended on Disney Plus before the next thing starts. So this is a good time to drop in some of their big movies.
Yeah, keep that interest.
Yeah. So, who knows? This could be up there just another month or so.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't see why not. Like, I mean, people really just want to stay inside nowadays, and they will stream. And if Disney Plus has it.
And I, from my understanding, this one financially is even performing lower than Solo did, which bothers me because Solo was a damn good movie.
It was a really good
movie.
It's
one of my favorites as a standalone. So, actually, my favorites of since Disney took over are the standalones. I gotta say, this has been a lackluster trilogy. Entertainment-wise, I think it's better than the prequel trilogy, but at least the prequel trilogy traveled its own road.
Well,
for the most part.
Not completely. It traveled its own road in a dumb way.
It had a story to tell, and it was clumsy.
Yeah, but it's not like it did it well, and it's not like they did it well again. So
see, I like these three. I know I'm the outlier.
I've enjoyed all three.
I've enjoyed them for what they are, but they are, as a continuity, a complete mess. partially because of Carrie Fisher passing away and derailing it, what they were wanted to do.
This one would have been a completely different movie had she been around.
Yeah, she had a much heavier role originally planned, so there were heavy rewrites involved. So we can at least forgive that, because that's unavoidable when a key actor passes away, that there's going to be rewrites and compromises. But there are a lot of answers we are not given in this trilogy.
But I felt, I felt that that ripoff comes because Carrie Fisher wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel, not only did she not get ripped off with her Star Wars movie, like, but we sort of did because we didn't get Carrie Fisher's Star Wars movie.
Well, I don't think we can lay all of the problems of this trilogy on the passing of Carrie Fisher, though.
I don't know. I can lay a lot of it on there, because there's some bits that would have helped.
It certainly feels like Palpatine was thrust in at the last minute. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, even though JJ's gone on record saying he was always intended to come back.
Okay. I might buy that, but the whole Snoke being a clone thing, there are lots of people who worked and wrote on this trilogy, and he was supposed to be Darth Plagueis, I do believe? Yeah, Darth Plagueis, this legendary Sith. Mm-hmm. So now he's just a thing in a tank.
That was weird.
In a tank.
Yeah.
Things in a tank. And I don't know if when you're cloning, you just like dump them in, like just haphazardly in a tank.
Yeah.
Well, which is what bothered me in part.
Seriously, why if, and I do enjoy this movie, but why is the Emperor looking for a new host body in Rey, his granddaughter, if he can just clone? He's had this technology for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole thing with Snoke was, at least the way I understood it, was that Snoke, he couldn't clone a perfect clone because he was cloning from his own damaged tissue.
I see.
You know, like make a photocopy of a photocopy and it's definitely not as good.
Well, maybe that's why it was all hooked up the way it was. And
And the way Snoke looked the way he did.
Yeah, Snoke was not in good shape.
No.
No.
Right, so. I wouldn't have put myself in Snoke.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
And I'm not sure what this whole planet of Sith sympathizers were doing in the throne room at that particular moment. Not doing much of anything helping.
They were the spirits of the Sith. Just like that's the what, spirits
yeah, they
of the
weren't
Jedi.
Actual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was like a
so
vision.
So who the fuck built all those Star Destroyers?
That's a damn good question.
I thought it was those monkey people, but who knows? Because they have a Planet of the Apes section in this movie.
I think there's a lot of sections when all those ships show up near the end. You can recognize a lot of ships, but like really close and center. I can't wait to get a hold of the Blu-ray and just hit pause so I can recognize some of the ships. But I'm pretty sure I saw the Firefly there.
Ooh, yeah, I know, because it comes in really quickly, and there's a lot visually to look at, so you're trying to see what you can see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that ship there from Firefly.
It wouldn't surprise me, right, especially considering that Disney has the rights to Firefly now.
Yeah, it's Fox, so it's all plays, and it's not like Fox hasn't done that before with the prequel trilogy and that big courtroom. And
there's a love of Easter eggs.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to like being able to watch this at home and hit pause and kind of see if I can find some of that stuff. All right, well, yeah, we're going to get into today. We're going to be comparing this to Return of the Jedi, third film of the original trilogy and the sixth film in the franchise.
There's a few comparisons with the others, too.
But yes, we will be comparing to pretty much anywhere and everywhere within the franchise, just for consistency of labeling sake.
That's right. And and we're going to address the whole complaint about fan servicing, I think, in this, because there are a lot of people complaining that this doesn't really serve the fans very well. But there is a lot of fan service in this movie. A ton of it.
Oh, I think
there is, yeah.
There is, at the detriment to some of it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, there's some fanboy crap that's bother the crap out of me.
Yeah, well, and I think where the original trilogy missed the boat on capitalizing on Boba Fett, which I think we're finally getting something out of with Mandalorian, and then with Force Awakens, they managed to not capitalize on the popularity of Captain Phasma, despite her being... They said, well, she was never meant to be this bigger character. Well, why was she featured so heavily in the advertising? But okay.
And why did you
cool
use...
costume.
yeah. cool costume. She did wind up being fairly inept for somebody who's supposed to be the grand controller yeah. of the troopers, yeah. of the troops for the First Order.
And why use such a high profile actor only to just ditch her?
Yeah, well, not like that doesn't happen again.
I know.
Yes.
And again. A lot in this movie.
Yes.
But they did try it again in this movie with a new character, which was Zori Bliss. And the first thing I leaned over to Trish and I'm like, did Daft Punk get a third member?
Nope. And then the whole movie I'm like, do you know who it is? Do you know who it is?
No. And now, once you told me, it's like, oh, well, now I can't hear anything but. Like,
yep.
Before it was like, the voice, I wasn't yep. quite catching it, but the eyes looked familiar. And even then I got that wrong. But but that also is one of those things where the casting of that character, and I'll tell mm-hmm. you in a little bit who that was, is part of the J.J. Abrams troupe of actors that get massive cameos, but really don't forward this movie in any way, shape, or form.
Well, yeah, sort of part of it does, but she's not the main part of it. That tiny little puppet guy who I really loved, he forwarded a shit ton. He was so cute.
Yes. Yes. What do we do to capitalize and maybe do something bigger and better than Baby Yoda? Somebody smaller.
But he was freaking great.
He was pretty
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Right. And I love the fact
Baba Frick.
Yeah. Baba Frick. Yes. He's one of my oldest friends.
Yes. Voiced by Myrtle, the Morning Myrtle from Harry Potter.
Oh, I did not know
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yes. But yeah, I like the way that they played down the cute in this movie versus Jedi, where they really played up the cute. Well, I mean, there's cute in this, but it's not as like in your face.
What,
like
Dio the little, is cute.
Dio's cute and completely pointless.
He carries some information they need.
I don't know. There's things that they do in this movie a lot of the times that go nowhere, and Dio is one of them. He's clearly there for cuteness factor.
Yes.
Like, well, we did it with BB-8. He's there to make more toys.
For sure.
He is.
Really doesn't service the plot at all.
But doesn't he also give them information about how to get to where they need to
get? It's not like they couldn't have got that out of a computer or anything else. He is there for toys. Let's be fair. Like, they could have easily serviced that little plot point by having BB-8 access the computers on that ship or whatever. Like, he didn't service anything other than making toys.
I'd have to agree to a certain extent, yeah. Yes.
But he was a cool design,
yes.
So
yes.
I will give you that.
Yeah.
And it's a little heartbreaking to see an abused robot.
Yes.
That's exactly, yeah.
So we are nearing the future with robots. Be kind to your robot.
Yeah.
I even thank Siri.
Oh, yes. Well, no, my Roomba Freddy, he is my little buddy. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he was clearly an abused robot, I think there was something that was supposed to be there, right? Because he was afraid to be touched. And, there's anytime somebody came near him, he's like, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, one of 1,000 dangling plot points in this movie.
Yeah.
Which should have been tied to the fact, I think it should have been tied to, like, the information that he supposedly had in his head. Like, no, please, no, please, no, thank you. Like, because I would say it should have been sort of something where, like, they just kept using him as, like, just this repository of terrible things. Mm. And he didn't like it.
His previous owner was the owner of the bounty hunter who was bringing Sidious's...
The knife.
The knife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, so I mean, he was a bad guy. It was obviously something that kind of either fell to the cutting room floor or never really got filled out in the writing.
Oh, and we got a whole lot more for sure. But first, I want you guys to enjoy the original trailer for Return of the Jedi from 1982. This is the original theatrical trailer, so enjoy.
Return for the climactic clash between the forces of good and evil. Return to a galaxy far, far away. Return of the Jedi. The next chapter in the continuing Star Wars saga. The battle for freedom rages on. The heart of a hero. The courage of a rebel. The strength of a leader. the loyalty of comrades. The power of the Force. The cunning of the enemy. A destiny revealed.
Is Darth Vader my father?
A legend fulfilled. An epic of heroes, villains, and aliens from a thousand worlds.
It's a trap!
The quest continues. The circle closes. The saga lives on. Return of the Jedi begins May 25th at a theater in your galaxy.
That was the 1982 original theatrical trailer for Star Wars Return of the Jedi. And I, you know me, I like a good voiceover.
Absolutely.
Especially for podcasting.
Yes, especially for
those trailers work better.
They definitely work better. Story and screenplay by, of course, George Lucas. And screenplay was also written by Lawrence Kasdan, mm-hmm. who, as far as I'm concerned, was one of the best writers for this franchise.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree.
This was directed by Richard Marquand. And normally when we do these episodes, when I list the cast, I tell you what movies they've been in, especially the ones we've covered. I'll just tell you right now, episode 23 and 123.
Yeah.
For most of these.
Plus, if you don't know, what are you even doing here?
Yeah. Once again, if you haven't listened to episode 23 and 123, I'd start there before continuing on with this episode. Okay, so starring Mark Hamill, of course, as Luke Skywalker, Harrison Ford as Han Solo. Mark Hamill, of course, we actually talked about really recently in episode 211.
Child's Play.
That's right.
Yes.
Harrison Ford as Han Solo, Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
Who we also talked about fairly recently.
Did we?
Yeah, in The Out of Towners, episode 207. Remember?
Oh, he played
yes.
there?
Yes.
He had a little cameo in
there.
Yes.
He did a small That's part. Right. Yes.
Nice catch, because I forgot about that one. Anthony Daniels was C-3PO, the only actor to appear in all nine of these Skywalker trilogy movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just not those two side ones, Rogue One and Solo. Well, and considering a lot of animated series as well.
Yeah, yes. He's done pretty much nothing but C-3PO for his entire career.
Well, since 77, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because I was going through his IMDb and it's like I just look at the stuff where it didn't say C-3PO to see if it was there were anything that we'd covered, and like there's like four things that he didn't play C-3PO.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That includes the Muppets, man. Yeah. He did the Muppets. I remember that episode. Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca, and he's been pretty much in every version of this franchise as well, but passed away prior to the shooting of this one. But at least he's had presence in all of them. Sebastian Shaw was Anakin Skywalker. Ian McDiarmid was the Emperor. And again, we talked about him real recently, episode 220.
Dragon Slayer.
Yes, Dragon Slayer. Okay, that's what I was going Flesh and Blood, and I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. He was not in episode 23.
No, he was not in episode 23. Frank Oz was Yoda, and we may have mentioned him in episode 68. Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No. Trading Places.
Oh, Trading Places, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he did direct for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
James Earl Jones, of course, was the voice of Darth Vader. And it's, again, way back in episode 40, we talked about him.
In Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian.
I wasn't here for that one.
You weren't. Mm-hmm. Tyler was, though.
Yeah.
And
I was mad about it, too.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't like fantasy movies.
Well, then.
Why are you here?
Exactly.
David Prowse was the physical Darth Vader, and we've talked about him a couple of times, actually. Episode 88.
You weren't here for
that one, actually. That was Jabberwocky.
Oh.
And episode 155, Casino Royale.
What was he in Casino Royale?
I didn't write down what his role was.
Oh, okay,
so you'll
sorry.
Have to go back to that episode because I don't remember.
Okay.
Alec Guinness, of course, was the original Obi-Wan Kenobi. Kenny Baker was R2-D2, who we may have mentioned it in episode 29. Flesh.
Oh.
Savior of the universe, Gordon. And Warwick Davis was Wicket, the Ewok,
yes.
And we did talk about him extensively in episode 79.
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
I forgot to write that one down, but I remembered it. So,
and of course, there's a lot more
for that one.
Lots more names in these because Star Wars. If you've been in a Star Wars and served coffee on set, you're probably famous for it.
Yes, and there are so many, especially in this last trilogy. There's so many cameos where you can't recognize them at all.
Well, with Lando and the guy who played Wedge, I don't think I wrote down his name, but it'd been 39 years since they last played those roles.
Yeah.
So it's a long stretch.
I loved it when I was like, Wedge! My first Elvis movie.
Somebody would have had to say it in the actual movie for me to know who the hell I was looking at. Because I wouldn't. At least.
I knew when I
Billy
saw him,
D. Williams
like, yeah.
is pretty recognizable
yeah,
you, still.
Yeah, he's still pretty recognizable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Another piece of trivia that I came across is the actor who plays Wedge is.
Yes.
Ewan McGregor's uncle.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I remember that.
His role in Star Wars is why Ewan McGregor wanted to become an actor.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. That's wild. Well, I guess that's why Ewan McGregor also got into Star Wars.
Yes.
Absolutely. Doing his best Alec Guinness.
Who wouldn't? I mean, Dominic Monaghan snuck into this new movie on a bat. You know,
really?
It was over a soccer game or something, and JJ lost.
There we go.
But let's face it, JJ were to put
so
you in
there. So
anyway.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. JJ's turning into the new Tim Burton. He's like, he's got this list of actors. He's like, I'm making a movie, you're in it.
Yeah.
Right. The one guy who's in a bit of like Lost, Heroes.
Oh, yeah. He's his.
I'd say he's Johnny Depp, but he's not as well known as Johnny Depp.
Well, it's like putting Hitchcock in his own movies, right? Hitchcock cameo in his own movies. JJ doesn't do that. Although I think he did voice something in this one.
Yeah.
He puts that dude
from
Lost in everything he does.
This is how you know it's a JJ Abrams film. He shows up. And he's a bit of a dick in this one.
I just assumed he was like, he was our version of Porkins, like in this new franchise, you know, and he pretty much went out the same way.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's one comparison way back to episode 4.
Yeah.
We'll start with that one.
There we go. Yes. Right. We were talking about Carrie Fisher and Princess Leia. One of the very first comparisons you can make is that first scene with Billy Lord in Leia's Jedi outfit, essentially.
She was pretty much Endor Leia.
Yes, and that was all an obvious nod back to the original one and to Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice to see her in this franchise. And if they move forward with this continuity, because I feel like there's lots of unanswered questions, she'd be a good character maybe to bring forward.
To bring forward, because she had minor roles in this, but yeah, and she is in all three. I mean, they've gone on record saying that the Skywalker trilogy is over.
Oh, I hope so. To be honest, I hope so. Like, go ahead and maybe expound upon it in animation and comics and stuff. But it is a bit frustrating that all the answers I was kind of hoping for in this one aren't there.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to get elsewhere.
Well, and they are saying that they're not done with these characters. They're just done with the Skywalkers.
That'd be good. Yeah. From what I've been reading, what's next will be what they call the High Republic. So I think it's after the Old Republic stuff, if you've played the video games or read the comics, but it'll still be like about 300 years before New Hope or any of the other Skywalker films.
Well, that'd be interesting. I think that there's lots of material that we've discovered there that's to move away from this focus on a specific era and time.
And my understanding is they'll format it in such a way where it'll be a little more about how Marvel structures their films. So we'll have a lot of movies set in this time period, probably with different characters getting introduced and whatnot, and little stories being told here and there, that it'll build to something much bigger. Which should be fine rather than following a bunch of central characters throughout the whole thing. I imagine characters will cross over and whatnot, but
ideally, yes.
Ideally. Mm-hmm. I don't know when they're planning that and what they have planned immediately next. I'm kind of hoping they'll just do another standalone before they get to the High Republic. I don't mind them doing things like Solo and Rogue One, and that just kind of wedge themselves in there. But I'd like to get a little further away from the original movies if we could.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did like the Rogue One thing because we did finally get the answer and how that architect got hired more than once.
Which is funny because we did bring that up.
We did. And who showed up as that architect? Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, it's funny how we kind of predicted all of that. I mean, I'm sure it would have been in progress at the time, when we recorded that episode, but we had no idea. So it was, was kind of cool.
I believe we manufactured that. I'm going to consistently say that.
I will at least say manifested it.
We made it happen.
Our connection to the Force is strong.
Those questions got answered, and I was very pleased with how and by whom.
At least we got some questions answered somewhere.
Yes.
Because I'm still waiting for Finn to tell us what the hell he was trying to tell Rey. They bring that up so many times, and then it never gets played. Like, I get what he's trying to say. He's like, hey, I'm a Force wielder.
Oh, I thought he was trying to tell her that he knew her secret, that she was a Palpatine. That's what I thought.
Oh, see? Nobody knows. I mean, he could have just said, I'm in love with you, which makes no sense because you figured there was a budding relationship with Rose, which fucking went nowhere.
Yes.
Oh, that gets ditched real quick.
I don't think anybody missed Rose that much, but at the same time,
I did.
She's established now. Maybe we should do something a little bit more than give her a glorified cameo in this one.
That's what, I was very frustrated by that.
And then you just said that other defected Stormtrooper, mm-hmm. and then there seems to be something happening there too. It's like, oh, Finn, you're a slut.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, hey, it goes nowhere.
If you watch all these together, you're like, there's so much chemistry between John Boyega and Oscar Isaac that I'm like, Oscar might go both ways. I think he would. You know, and to be honest, I don't think I would have cared. Like, Star Wars has always been a woke universe.
Well, I always it sort of has. It might not be.
No, not all the time.
The fans, no. But I would have genuinely gone there.
There was talk of that at the end of Force Awakens, as they were talking about how there's this budding same-sex relationship happening mm-hmm. there, and then they just kind of tanked it. They just went, nope, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Finn, I feel like, gets his character just kind of fell off a cliff as far as development goes after the first film. This really strong character who's got a lot of chemistry and was kind of floundering in the second one.
And then
they're just trying to find something for him to do. And at least there's a relationship budding with Rose. And that all gets dropped in this film. And he's just running around most of the time. Was like, hey, I have a secret, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all he did in this movie.
Well, no, everybody keeps complaining about that, but he did do stuff in this movie, right? I mean,
Of course he did stuff, but nothing all that important.
Yeah. Bringing down the shields, not important.
Well, he did do that, but it was sort of like, that's all you've really got. Like, he's...
I'm talking about character development here.
Okay, so there's this...
Like, not physically doing, taking down a ship or something.
Yeah, there's a scene in this movie where he's sitting with that other defectee, whose name I can't remember, and
Janna,
and he tells her who he is. He's their inspiration. It's really low key, but she says, you're him. That's all she says is, you're him. He's the one who inspired all these other stormtroopers to leave.
Because then he tells her it's not him. He says, it's just the Force. You just felt it.
Yeah.
Like,
he immediately dismisses it. Yeah. That's the problematic part. Yeah, he immediately dismisses it.
They're discussing is like, well, why did you leave? I just felt like I should. And they had a similar feeling. So it makes you wonder if these... And that was something I theorized after watching the movie. I'm like, you know, what if the First Order was kidnapping Force-sensitive children?
Oh, I just thought they were kidnapping all children. They just happen to have a few Force-sensitive children.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they do what they do. But it was in the back of my mind. It's like, huh, interesting.
Because, I mean, honestly, if you're the First Order, you might not do that because they could be problematic, i.e. you get one infected Force-sensitive child who could, as Sam was saying, like, could infect the rest of the Stormtroopers. Mm. You do not want that. You want to kill the children who are Force-sensitive. You do not want to take them.
Yeah, like with Janna, like that whole little group they meet on that watery moon.
Endor.
It's a moon in the system of Endor, but it's not the same planet where the Ewoks were on. And, I don't remember what the name of the planet or the moon was.
They never say.
No, yeah.
That I can recall.
Yeah, but like that was a group of First Order soldiers.
Yeah, they were a troop that defected en masse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Were they the survivors from the... No, they couldn't. They were too young for being survivors of the Death Star.
No, because she has that bit of dialogue where they were ordered to fire on civilians and they couldn't. And then that's where we have that moment where Finn explains that it was the Force. And I think you're right in inferring that he's probably trying to tell her that he feels the Force, or telling Rey that he feels the Force. And I think that was their way of sort of sneaking it in there and hoping you noticed that that was what was happening there.
And maybe because I got the feeling he didn't want to do it in front of Poe just out of judgment. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me why he wouldn't say it in front of Poe, but I don't think Poe's one of the... Poe's a lot like Han, especially the way they kind of retrofitted his history in there. Like, oh, yeah, he was a former smuggler and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, see, but yeah.
Spice runner.
He was a spice runner, and I'm like, going, yeah, no, I kind of, I like, I love Poe as like the lovable scoundrel. Yeah. He totally nails it.
Yeah, he's good. He's, I think, as a character, he really started coming into his own in that second film, and just so comfortable doing what he's doing in this one.
And I think it sort of, his development sort of came at the expense of Finn's, I think. They sort of showcased him a bit more.
You might be right there, yeah.
And that was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe at least to give Finn something to do, I wouldn't have separated them in that second film.
That was my biggest complaint about the second film, is that Finn was away from everybody else through the entire film. Yeah,
doing something that didn't matter.
That, and they sidelined Rose completely. That's what bothered me. It's like, well, aren't you going to come with us? And she's like, no, I'll just stay here. No, fuck that shit. She's smart and she can help repair the damn ship. She should have gone with them.
Well, and here's Dominic Monaghan, who I was like, well, what's up with this character? And apparently he's some sort of Sith expert. So this would have probably come in a lot more handy. You hear him spout a couple of lines that suggest that, but like, hey, we got this knife, or we got this information. Can you help us out with that? Like, what is this planet? Like, there's a lot of information they could have got from their Sith expert that they didn't get from their
Should be able to read and speak Sith. Rather than waiting for C-3PO to get brainwiped in a very funny scene, mind you, but...
Yeah, which again, it's like I'm taking one last look at my friends. And then hopefully that was more Anthony Daniels saying goodbye to the role.
Yeah. Yeah.
But less than half an hour later, he's been rebooted by R2.
Yeah.
And backed up. So, like, we do get some funny moments, but this heartfelt goodbye really didn't mean anything because he got his memory back and everybody, he knows everybody again. But
yeah.
I do like the when that after his memory's wiped and it's like, ah, Baba Frick, he's my oldest friend.
Yes. That is such a funny line.
It's like maybe 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That, or he's like going, hi, I am C-3PO. And then like Poe is like, this is going to be a problem.
Did we find the volume button yet?
Yeah. That's the one thing that saves this franchise, I think, as a whole, is the chemistry between these actors is really good.
Yes.
Between all of them, yes.
Yeah, because we have some lackluster scripts here, let's be honest, but it is that chemistry between these characters that kept us coming back to the franchise.
I'd have to agree. I think that one of the biggest failings of this one in particular is Rey always going off on her own.
Mm.
Right, she always seems to be off on her own. She's always trying to discover herself as a Jedi.
Well, she is mirroring.
Yeah,
mirroring,
but I mean, she's doing Luke.
Exactly. She's mirroring the path of Luke.
Right up to when she goes back to the planet where she found Luke in the first place.
Yeah.
That is the Dagobah moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Where he goes back and
she, well, then she has the similar thing when she sees herself.
Yes.
Which was this great bit in the ad. With this cool lightsaber.
It was like 2 seconds.
It was 2 seconds and it goes nowhere. I'm like, ah, damn. I mean, I get it now, but what a tease.
Yeah, that was it was a good tease. It definitely got you talking and interesting. Yeah,
Did I know, I saw the entire scene.
Yeah.
But it is sort of a tease. Like, when they do it, it's an Empire, isn't it? Where he's fighting Darth Vader in his mask. Then he cuts off the head, and then it explodes and it's his face there.
Yeah.
So it's not a very long scene.
And it's funny
because
she's had that moment twice now.
Yes.
She had it in the last movie, too.
Yes.
Well, and she does mention, there's like, I saw myself sitting on the throne of the Sith. I had a vision. And
which we don't see.
We don't see. That's what kind of bugged me a bit.
Yeah. Especially when they made her such a cool-looking Sith, and we didn't actually get to see that dream sequence.
It would have been... And there's probably something
would have been amazing.
And I don't know if the rest of the audience felt the same way, but I'm like, well, did I miss something?
That's what I thought, too.
Because I have seen all these movies. I don't remember this scene ever happening.
No, and it's covered in dialogue, and if they had cut the lightsaber fights between her and Kylo Ren by 2 minutes each, they would have had room for that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you know, we were in the theater when it was Val, and she's by the third lightsaber fight, she's like, enough already. It's like, I know, we get it, they fight with lightsabers, Right? And my wife is a huge fan of all these movies, and she was getting annoyed by it.
That one didn't bug me too much. I had trouble wrapping my brain around the whole force transport thing. That one bugged me, yeah. But I mean, JJ doesn't follow rules.
See,
so.
And I thought it was sort of, they were a dyad. They were entangled in a way that no other Jedi's had been for.
Yeah, and they do say it's something different we haven't seen in a long time. And it's fine. I mean, it wound up becoming some cool moments, but it was still one of those things, oh, I'm having trouble buying it. Much like the betrayal of Hux.
But I find it kind of fascinating where it is that dyad thing, but imagine like two opposing forces where you really pretty much can't hide from each other.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is it to fight a fight when you can't hide?
I mean, it was a great way to move the plot along. Like, okay, most of this movie is a quest for those Sith wayfinders.
Yeah.
Kylo finds one right away and is two, because just like the Sith, there's always mm-hmm. two. And Rey's trying to find the other one so they can find Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kylo's doing it so he can find Palpatine and take him out so he hasn't got any threat to his rule over the First Order.
Yeah.
But, then, you know, Palpatine's been manipulating Kylo from the start. All the voices in his head were always Palpatine to get to this moment so he could get to the Final Order. And I'm like, well, what happened to all the orders in between?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? But here's the thing. I kind of buy that because I think Palpatine every time is like, ooh, this is the final one. And then this is the final one.
It does make me wonder what his endgame was here.
Well, I think his endgame was always to have a final order. He just keeps fucking it up. So he believes that this is the time he's really going to get his final order.
I felt like maybe he almost had it this time. It's like, well, every time I build an ultimate weapon, everybody comes in mass to destroy me. So let's make a whole bunch of them. And then keep him in one place.
Yes.
Like, yeah. dumb dude.
I mean, his strategy was to keep it in a place that was very hard to get to. So I think he thought he was fine.
I don't think he was ready yet.
And, they weren't planning on leaving them all there either, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks he's safe all the time. Like, I mean, his hubris is really the worst part about him.
He has the arrogance of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks he is, well, and I mean, considering he's come back, yeah, he is kind of immortal. So, I mean, I'll give him that bit of
humor. Well, I will give the Sith is they are a hardy breed. I mean, I didn't even have that much of a problem with him returning because it happened in the comic books with the cloning, with the Dark Empire, which is out of continuity now. But
yeah.
Even Darth Maul's back. And we saw him at the end of Solo. And if you watch the Clone Wars, he's back and they use, I don't know, his hate kept him alive.
Well, and they do mention, like, the cloning, like, one of the Sith expert mentions the cloning, the dark magic of the cloning. But, and then they sort of bring Darth Maul back, whereas her bad part has, like, the double-sided lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hers was even cooler because it flipped
out. It flipped, and you could do both.
It was cool. I liked it.
It was very cool. Would have liked to see more than that.
Well, look forward to people cosplaying that 3 seconds.
Yes.
They're going to do it. They are going to do it.
Because that's probably all I'm going to get.
Unless there's bonus features on the DVD or Blu-ray, sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when you mentioned Hux as well, and I'm like,
yeah.
I remember we were discussing it, and I'm like going, well, I kind of get why he did it.
I turned right to you. I'm like, what the hell? Like, well, it's so contrary to the character we've seen
it is.
Before.
But then you find out the reason. And well, you're like, yeah, no, that's not contrary at all.
Well, I mean, it's a bit last-minute throwaway. It's just like, well, we need somebody recognizable. I'm like, do we have to recognize them?
No, we don't have to. But it makes sense as to why that character would do it.
The selfishness of like, well, I don't want to help you. I just want
I just don't want
Kylo.
This person to win.
Yeah, I don't want
that
Kylo
is in character with him.
It's very much in character. So, I mean, when he finally said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, no,
but,
I get
you know,
that
once they make the reveal, he's just wiped out anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah, he's disposed of pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty casually. Granted, the franchise is guilty of doing that pretty much across the board. So, with characters that get established and we get somebody like Grievous in that prequel trilogy who's really cool and really is only on the screen for about 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Hux was always kind of a throwaway character. He was just there as competition for Kylo for the first two movies, and they had to do something with him in this movie. And I think that's...
Yeah, I think as far as rank and control over the First Order, they were kind of at equal level. Yeah. Once Snoke was disposed of, then the power struggle between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder why Kylo didn't take care of him right away.
I think as Kylo saw his usefulness,
I suppose.
Or Kylo thought he was insignificant.
There's a fairly large gap in time between Last Jedi and this film.
Mm-hmm.
At least it feels that way.
It doesn't. They always establish that there's some time has passed between each movie because
which
it makes sense.
Yeah, which at least, like Return of the Jedi, at least somewhat we figure out. I mean, they're going after Han, but we don't know how long he's been in mm-hmm. Jabba's palace at that point, and it long enough for at least Lando to integrate himself in there and as a spy. So when we first see Luke, much like Rey, they're fairly fully formed Jedi at this point in both films.
Yes. I mean, Leia is obviously trying to teach
mm-hmm.
Rey more about being a Jedi, reaching to the ancestors or the ones that have passed. I like the one that they followed that sort of setup that Leia is a capable Force user
mm-hmm.
in The Force Awakens, or not Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
As, no matter how cheesy, it was cheesy as hell, but they at least...
Oh, I loved it. She gets sucked out in the vacuum of space and Force pulls herself back into the ship. Yeah. That was awesome.
It was awesome. Cheesy, but awesome.
Cheesy.
Well, I mean, it's a Star Wars. There's a lot of cheesy there.
Yeah, but I mean, and I like the fact that in this one, they actually show that she was training as a Jedi at a certain point, which would make sense. Now,
she completed her training as a Jedi.
She completed with her and Luke was training her, and I felt that was very good, because we need to know that she did go down that path, but what she was afraid of was kind of what stopped her, which is
that whole dark side nagging at her, which damn near crushes BB-8
mm-hmm.
In that training sequence, which where we get a little bit of that little laser droid that frustrates her from A New Hope. So that's where a lot of comparisons start pretty early in the film, where we're like, well, we'll just pluck a little bit here, a little bit here. That whole rescue scene for Chewbacca after the Knights of Ren take him.
That's A New Hope.
That's all New Hope.
Jedi.
It's all A New Hope. Well, where do you get the Jedi part?
Chewie in shackles going into Jabba.
Yeah, but that was fake.
Oh, no.
This is the first time he's actually taken and it's not a fake.
Actually, it's also Empire where it was Cloud City.
Yeah. So, is it not to all three movies?
I suppose.
Chewie ends up in shackles a lot.
Yeah, but this is the only time where he's actually in shackles on purpose.
Yeah.
Or not on purpose.
No, Cloud City, they were actually captured.
Cloud City, because he was giving up. Lando was going, he said he'd traded them and Han for Leia.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Chewie, so it was a whole thing.
But Chewie rescues himself in that movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he doesn't remember Chewbacca. Wasn't there something he doesn't remember Chewbacca? And I'm like going, but he built you. Like, he rebuilt you in one of the movies as well, because he ends up, C-3PO ends up in pieces at one point. And then he puts his head on backwards, and he's very mad about that.
Well, prequels and stuff, they hadn't thought that far ahead.
Yes.
So I know.
There are continuity gaffes that just happened because of that, but then this one has got a lot more continuity issues just in its 4 years.
Yes, or 6 years or whatever it is. Yeah, but I mean, there are, and I think to be honest with you, I think the Rian Johnson movie, they plucked the parts that they wanted to keep out of there and just ignored the rest.
Well, I mean, I think there's probably sequences that were put in there with the passing of Carrie Fisher. Yeah. They had to do some really quick rewrites, which is probably why some of those plot points don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Rose story.
Yeah.
Oh, so disappointing. But the other thing, too, is then you have Han Solo come back, and I mean, he can't be a Force ghost.
Well, no, he actually says that
they
he's...
do. They do mention the connection there.
Yeah,
I know they do mention the connection, but either you're a Force ghost or you're a what?
Yeah, he's not a Force ghost, but his spirit, because Kylo killed him, was attached to him.
But it sort of is, and it isn't. I can guarantee that whole scene should have been Carrie Fisher, and that's why it disappointed me.
Yeah, I suspect that.
Because it's very suspicious and not...
Yeah, I suspect Harrison Ford stepped in to fill a role that was supposed to go to Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that at least... It doesn't make the scene make any more sense, but at least, that was one of those tug on the heartstring moments.
With Carrie Fisher, it would have made more sense because Luke already did the same thing in the previous movie, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to run the trailer here for Rise of the Skywalker from 2019 here, and we'll be back to stab the hate right out of your heart.
Instinct. Feeling. The Force brought you. good people will fight if we lead them.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny.
Will be with you.
Always.
That was Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker from 2019. The screenplay and story by J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio. Chris Terrio, who wrote Argo, Oscar Best Picture winning movie, and Justice League. Not any of those things.
Not any of those things.
The story also gets credited to Derek Connolly and Colin Trevorrow, I guess. Much of their scripts when Colin Trevorrow was originally supposed to direct this film is still there. Both of them are known for Jurassic World, and Derek Connolly also wrote Kong Skull Island. And of course, J.J. Abrams came back to direct this movie, also directed Mission Impossible 3, Super 8, and two Star Trek movies, Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness. Let us know, guys, if you want us to cover Star Trek The Wrath of Khan and Star Trek Into Darkness. I've thought about it. There are elements there. So, it's doable. But we'll see. Of course, starring, they give top billing to Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill. Adam Driver returns as Kylo Ren. And hey, good luck to you. He's up for an Oscar for Marriage Story this year. Daisy Ridley is Rey. And we actually have talked about her in a non-Star Wars movie in episode 181.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Correct. And John Boyega returns as Finn, and we always like to mention Attack the Block as one of our favorites. Oscar Isaac returns as Poe Dameron, and I think a couple of us have talked about Annihilation in one of our 31 Days of Horror episodes. Anthony Daniels returns as C-3PO, Naomi Ackie as Janna, who you can currently see in The End of the Fucking World. Which is that? That's Netflix, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got too many streaming services. I can't keep them all separate in my head. Domino Gleeson is here again as General Hux, and we might cover him again at some point. We'll probably cover True Grit. He was in the remake, and of course he was in the Dread movie as well. Richard E. Grant is General Pride. I'll just let that sink in for a second. General Pride.
Yeah.
I am surprised we haven't talked about him before. He's got a huge body of work.
But we actually have, Sam, but not on our show.
And that's why I didn't bring it up. That's why I kind of brought him up, because we did talk about him on our guest appearance on Flix X-Raid.
Yeah,
we
so.
Did Hudson Hawk.
But. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We did talk about Hudson Hawk over on Flix X-Raid. So if you want more of us, then go find the Hudson Hawk episode.
Or another really good film podcast.
Go check out Flix X-Raid. Lupita Nyong'o returns as Maz Kanata, the voice of this mysterious character who seems to possess a lot of items she shouldn't actually be able to have.
No.
Like Chewbacca's missing metal. Like, I'd like the idea of her being this really great thief of objects that don't matter. Like, how did you get that lightsaber? How did you get Chewbacca's metal at the ceremony? Like, this is crazy. But
where he finally gets his damn medal.
At least the character returns the medal. So this ancient thief that's older than Yoda returns the medal. Carrie Russell was Zori Bliss, as I mentioned before. Also the third member of Daft Punk. You can also catch her in Mission Impossible 3, which J.J. Abrams directed. And, of course, J.J. was also involved in her series Felicity.
The American? Oh, what about The Americans? She's in The Americans.
Well, she's in The Americans, but JJ has nothing to do with it.
I know. But if you want to see her in that,
that we think.
I recommend watching her in that as well.
And Junos Satamo is the new Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And clearly a larger man than Peter Mayhew, because it looks like Chewie's put on a few pounds.
Well, he's like 6'10".
He's tall, but he's much broader.
Yeah, he's probably really fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, isn't he's like Finnish basketball player or something like that.
He's a big dude. Big dude. Kelly Mary Tran returns as Rose.
Briefly.
And, of course, Ian McDiarmid returns as Emperor Palpatine, along with Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
And a whole host of cameos.
That we could go all day on. We haven't done a whole lot of comparisons back to Jedi yet, or some of the other films. We did mention the lightsaber training droid early on. I thought the canyon chase, where the First Order guys learned to fly, felt a lot like the speeder bikes on Endor.
It is,
Yes. There's also, right after that, when they finally reach that ship, when they slide into the sand, that felt very Jedi to me, where they at the Sarlacc pit.
I didn't make the connection. I was thinking more back to my old Tarzan movies and one of the episodes where Jeff was around, where I was complaining about quicksand.
Yes. Well, both like me and Jeff, who have a terrifying fear of quicksand for no reason at all, because the 80s just had it in basically every show.
Movie. So it catered to our fear of quicksand.
Yes. But I felt that was sort of like a direct sort of parallel to
Because you know, underneath where the giant worm was,
a giant worm
granted it didn't attack anybody except for the guy who got trapped there the first time.
And the use of the rope to get that one speeder out of the way, that's very much in Jedi as well, like sort of beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep. Hey, good sound effects,
thanks.
There was a scene later, of course, when the Final Order destroy Kijimi, which is this brand new planet that Baba Frick and Zori are introduced on. That's blown up just to show the power of the cannons that are on these new Final Order Star Destroyers. And I actually didn't have a problem with that, even though it looked very phallic underneath. But other than the fact that that looked phallic, I mean, it makes sense that the technology after this amount of time, I'm guessing it was about 50 years or so from Jedi, that the technology would be smaller.
30. Well, think about it. I mean, because Finn and Rey are late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. I said Jedi.
Right. So when
this... Not Return of the Jedi, not Last Jedi.
I know. Return of the Jedi. It was about 30 years.
30 years?
Think about it. Finn, Rey and...
I'm thinking about Luke and Leia and how old they are.
I think like Finn and Rey aren't born at the end of Jedi. They're born probably years after Jedi. So let's cut the difference. Say 40.
There we go.
Okay, I'll settle for 40. Yeah. All of the Star Wars fanboys are going, it's this amount. I'm like, I don't care.
We're guessing.
Nope. We're guessing. I don't have that kind of time.
We don't pander to
you. We do a lot of research, but we can't research every single
one of my customers had seen this movie 6 times. I'm like, oh my God, like, I've never seen any movie in the theater 6 times. I think the most is 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, I don't know if I'll ever see this movie 6 times in the rest of my lifetime.
I might.
I might get there, but it's going to take a little bit.
I might. I'll rewrite it as I go along.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the original Star Wars, countless times, but, you know, I was the right age. I was 4, you know.
Yeah.
When you're that age, you just want to watch the same movies over and over and over again.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The amount of times I've seen Empire.
Yeah, limitless. So that original trilogy I could probably recite in my sleep.
Yes, I mean, we watch them at least once a year.
Yeah. So that's kind of the ones I kind of picked up on as far as him cherry picking, but I'm sure you guys picked up on a few more. I mean, I've only seen this one, so.
The very end with Finn and Janna on the ship getting picked up by the Millennium Falcon is very end of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They actually do that twice in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where they say Rey, too, when she's escaping from Kylo's ship.
Yeah.
And then the very end where you have Palpatine opening the top window and being like, look at all your friends, they're all dying. That's exactly.
That is almost verbatim from Jedi.
Verbatim.
Oh, and then we've got the other major Jedi moment in reverse where he tosses Kylo down a pit.
Yes.
He tosses Kylo down a pit.
He's like, how do you like it?
Yeah.
Because I didn't like it.
But then you have the Darth Vader sacrificing himself moment, which is Kylo Ren.
Kylo doing that. Yeah. Speaking of, can we go back to stabbing the hate right out of his heart? I feel like there's a song here. Stabbing the hate right out of your heart.
Oh, I want that, and I desperately want to talk to how flawless his hair work is in every movie.
Yeah, there's a hairdryer that apparently works in that mask even after rebuilding it.
Well, and his like wet hair, regular hair, like his hair is just all like I would like to, you know, carpet a house with that glorious hair, and I feel it would be nice on your feet.
No, thank you.
Ew.
Yeah.
It is gross, but I think it would be great. But no, he's got like, he does great hair work. It's so amazing.
But I mean, then there's Kylo's whole path of redemption, just like Vader's, right? It's
that arc is very much the same. It's kind of nice because the Rise of the Skywalker refers to both his path and Rey's. Like, I think even when you watch the first film in this iteration of the franchise, you get this feeling that Kylo's struggling with his inner self, you know, being the grandson of Darth Vader, but the son of these heroes as well. And he's struggling between that light and darkness within him.
Well, and I think they sort of...
And so you kind of realize that path of redemption's telegraphed pretty early.
It is very, very early, yes.
But they should have done more, I feel, with the whole idea where they talk about like bringing balance to the Force. Because like the Jedi thing, and I think they were trying to get at this in the last movie, where it was kind of very all or nothing, which was not very conducive to any creature anywhere.
Well, when Rey calls upon the Jedi Force wielders, one of the voices is Anakin saying, I brought balance to the Force just like you have.
But so, I felt they should have played more with that. Because, I mean, like, there's light and dark in both Rey and Kylo.
Yeah, and Rey's having the same struggle, but she's been raised as this fairly... on her own anyway, but became this kind and gentle person. And as her powers grew, then she struggled with it. And there are some great scenes in this movie where she's struggling with that. When she accidentally blows that ship up when she's trying to force pull it from taking off. Which
led probably one of the most heart-wrenching moments in the film.
It was. And it was that scene really works.
Yes, it really works.
All right, we're seeing force powers used on film in a way we haven't seen outside of the video game stuff.
Yeah, like the healing.
Yeah.
Well, no, the healing, I mean, thankfully, that was already brought to the screen with... I mean, the video games have used it forever, but the Mandalorian beat them to it with Baby Yoda already doing it, so... The child.
Yeah.
The child, yes.
As I've been corrected at work, and I'm like, oh, come on, everybody calls him Baby Yoda.
Yeah, just
they
get
do.
Over it.
Yeah. They do.
Quit being nitpicky.
Yeah, I know. It's just easy for everybody.
Star Wars nerds can be real assholes sometimes.
They can. They can. But
I count myself among you, so don't write me.
That moment was so great in that, like, yeah, it's heartbreaking as to what she's done without meaning to. But also you get that moment where Kylo Ren's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it is really great. But going back to that balance thing that you were talking about there, is that's what I thought The Last Jedi was supposed to set up, is that Rey... and Kylo Ren were to be a new order of Force users where they have the balance, where they're able to access the things beneficial from the dark side and the things that are beneficial from the light side to create a whole new type of a Force user. Mm-hmm. And that kind of didn't materialize.
No.
No.
Like, but that's the feeling I got from Last Jedi.
And that's why the end of this infuriates me so much. Yeah.
Well, I felt like... the Knights of Ren were part of that, too, because they existed long before Kylo was part of them.
Yes.
So he took on his name because of the Knights. But we never get an idea of who the Knights of Ren are. I think the new comic books exploring the origins of Kylo are getting there, but we shouldn't have to turn to other medium to get those answers.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're going to introduce them in a film, you need to give us a more backstory.
Yeah.
And are they Force users? I kind of got the impression that they were, from my lack of knowledge.
Well,
right?
You know,
I think they're supposed to be, but they're completely helpless when he comes to save Rey.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if maybe they're connected in some way. You remember, and I wish I could remember the character's name from Rogue One, the Asian guy who's had a connection to the Force but wasn't a Jedi, wasn't really a Force user, but was able to just tap in enough to use it in a way like other senses because
he's blind.
So what if there's a dark version of that, this cult of the Knights of Ren? We don't even know who's controlling them. Was it Palpatine? Was Palpatine controlling them through Snoke? Or are they just a separate group that sympathizes to the dark side?
Because
we don't know anything about this little cult. And
you're not supposed to have more than one Sith, and there's more of them.
Sadly, I probably won't get the answers because I don't want to read the comic books. maybe I'll read that one down the road, but you know, I rarely tap into the novel side of things either. So
I kind of went on the idea that they probably aren't Force related simply because of that final scene. Mm. I think they're kind of like the Gestapo, like high end baddies that are like that very, you know, CIA, very secret society that enforce the Empire. That's sort of what I got.
They felt like the Crimson Guardsmen from Jedi in a way.
But they're also in this.
They are in this.
They are.
So now we have two groups guarding the Emperor. I don't know. Yeah. And I mean, the Knights disappeared in Last Jedi. They were introduced in the first film and then disappeared in the second and returned in the third. So I don't know. In a way, JJ almost ignored what Rian Johnson did.
Mm-hmm. To a large extent, like I said, there's a lot that he just sort of refused to acknowledge in this film.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they should have had one voice plot this thing out properly, much like the original franchise. Even though George didn't direct them all, he did write them all. Mm-hmm. So we did have one voice throughout that trilogy.
And to give you that continuity and make sure that you got your answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the original trilogy didn't create as many dangling threads either that Yellow had to be tied up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very cohesive story from start to finish in the sense that you followed.
And they had a limited amount of characters you were following.
Yeah, and there's so many in this final trilogy. There's so many characters, and they introduce new characters every single movie too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, got to get a new toy line out.
Yeah, but give me a Babu Frig. So happy about that one.
I have a feeling he actually moved
the story.
I have a feeling he's going to come with Bliss there, with Zori Bliss, because he's really small. So he's not going to make much of a figure if you're thinking about the figure scales.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he'll be a little pack-in or something.
Just a little Babu Frig keychain. That's all I need.
A little talking plushy one would be kind of cool, too.
Yes.
Oh, dear God. Quit giving them ideas for merchandise.
A little puppet.
Oh, come on. We're owned by the House of Mouse now. Let's just get it over with.
You've given up the struggle.
Let's think about it. Last week, this episode was probably the first one we've done in 2 months that wasn't somehow tied.
Yeah, unofficially, we weren't going there. We weren't trying to do a lot of Disney. We just wound up doing a lot of Disney.
Because
Disney owns fucking everything.
Yeah.
Yes, it's becoming unavoidable to a certain extent.
They've got a big monopoly.
And I've got plenty of Disney still planned in the pipe, so.
Yeah, but that'll be planned stuff.
Yeah.
It's the unplanned stuff that's getting depressing. Let's say, oh shit, this is another one.
Yeah.
Oh shit, this is
another
one.
Let's just make it official, Disney. Like, I will promote your streaming service. Just throw a little mouse bucks at me, and I'll gladly sell my soul to the mouse.
We'll even change our logo.
Okay, I'm going to have to be the voice of dissent here.
No, we won't really.
I will never sell out to the House of Mouse. I will bring balance to the invasion. I'm bringing balance to the invasion of the remake family.
Any other comparisons that you guys caught here?
I mean, aside from the obvious Andor reference.
Yeah, it was. I was actually kind of happy to see the Ewoks.
Yeah.
Just briefly.
Yes. Oh, and as it was telling
Jedi
Jay in the theater.
Jedi is my favorite of that original trilogy.
Oh, actually, there's the whole end battle scene, okay? Because obviously the fleet was in place of the rebuilt Death Star.
Yeah.
But Lando's flying in at the last moment for the rescue. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right, yeah. And also the moment where they're waiting for the shields to drop and they're fighting.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
they're fighting, they're that holding battle. That holding battle to, for the shields to finally drop.
Oh, that's Jedi and A New Hope.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah, yep. It's all over the place.
Yeah,
I did appreciate the one moment where they're like, "Can you jam their speeders?" And he's like, "They're not on speeders." Like, that's Jedi using like non technology to defeat the technological Empire.
Actually, during that what I call the speeder bike chase, I actually quite appreciated that the First Order weren't using things that float, and they were like literally driving on the sand with these cool bikes.
Yeah,
like finally some technology that makes sense.
Yeah. And I actually one more comparison is how the shield, they had to get down to the ground to destroy the shield generator.
That was the initial plan, anyway, they diverted.
And I like the misdirect where it's like, well, we're General
Pride. How do you forget that name?
I was thinking Price for some reason. I'm like, no, that's not right.
Jonathan Price is what you're thinking of.
It wouldn't be an episode of Invasion of the Remake if you got a name wrong.
That's Jedi Endor.
Yeah, but yeah, they misdirected you and said, well, where he says, well, let's redirect the shield generator up here, and then it completely changes that moment from Jedi into something new and slightly different. Just slightly different.
But yeah, you said the horse, the furry horses, which I know it's a toy, but I love it.
First equine species we've seen in the
first equine, but that's the whole thing where it was in Return of the Jedi, where you had all the Ewoks using like rocks and trees and all this other stuff that's not technological to defeat the Empire.
Yes, the Rebels have the bows in the final battle there on the outside of the Death Star.
Yep.
Oxygen, anybody? I'm pretty sure that those destroyers don't generate oxygen outside of their ship.
Yeah. Well, I got the feeling that they were. The only way I could defend it is if they were actually in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, but, are you talking about when Rey's by the door?
No, when they're on there, dropping the little bombs into the destroyer there to destroy the shield generator.
I thought, I did
suspension
atmosphere.
Of disbelief.
Yeah. I was like, they're in the atmosphere. Yeah.
I did appreciate when Rey was going on to the crashed Star Destroyer to find the Wayfinder, and you recognize that room she was in with the big pipe. I honestly think that was the same one that we saw in or a similar one to what we saw in A New Hope, where Ben Kenobi's flicking the switches, and might have even been the same one that the Emperor got tossed out.
Because that is the Death Star, right?
That's the Death Star.
They're
from Jedi.
In the throne room. They show the throne at one point.
Oh, that's right. It was. So it would have been the same pit.
Yeah, and that was an obvious homage to Jedi. I mean,
it's around Endor, so that would be the one that crashed.
Yeah, but we do see that familiar chute in there, too. At least we know what that was because we've seen it from a different angle in A New Hope as well. That was kind of cool to see that. I'm like, oh, I recognize all of this.
Yeah, it was very familiar. When she first got in there, I'm like, okay, yep.
And it's kind of cool. It's like, well, you don't realize, well, what did happen to all of that? And man, it's too bad the Jawas weren't on that planet. That would have been a cash cow.
Absolutely.
Certainly would have been a cash cow.
I mean, when they get there and they see it, they're like, this is going to take us years to go through this.
Well, and yeah, because it's so far out in the water there and those horrible seas that they have to go out in.
Which I did. I love the look of that.
Yes.
That just made me so... That was so pleased with like how unearthly it looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very representational of sort of the darkness of the Death Star and all that too, right? Like it just the turbulent seas that would surround something like that is like the darkness is still there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where the original the first Wayfinder was found in the film by Kylo? Do you know what planet that was?
No,
that was actually Vader's home planet where he had his castle.
Oh, okay,
and apparently in one of the VR games, like he was. I think it was called Immortal, Star Wars Immortal, or Darth Vader Immortal. And he was trying to resurrect Padme through this ancient Sith, whatever, ritual. And I guess this ritual initially was cast on this planet, which scarred it by scarring the Force.
Ah.
And he's defeated at the end of the game, and it heals this scar on this planet, which is why life is starting to grow again, but you're still seeing fire amongst the trees.
It looked really cool.
So that's why the planet looked a little different, but it was accounting for what happened in that game.
I think that's pretty cool.
There we go. That answers that question.
Other canon materials, even if you're not familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What I didn't understand is why Kylo Ren was fighting, had to fight his way there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it just opens up with that. Right? There's no explanation as to what he's trying to obtain, mm-hmm. but why is he fighting his way there?
Mm-hmm. Well, it
especially kind of, as the grandson of Vader.
That's kind of like the opening of Infinity War, where mm-hmm. Thanos already has a gem and he's just defeated Thor and the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I guess we don't, the journey isn't there, but we have to figure it out.
It's to save us time.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a save us time.
And give you a dramatic opening.
Yeah. It would have been nice to know what planet he was on, yeah. but
mm-hmm.
it's just one of many things they don't bother to tell us.
Many things they don't bother to tell us.
But I'm sure that'll get expanded in other mediums yeah. at some point.
Or possibly future films, because like I said, they said they're not done mm-hmm. with these characters.
And what they could have done if they'd done mm-hmm. part of it. Because, I mean, we can have many questions answered with Kylo Ren, but mm-hmm.
They just need to slow down with it now, I think. I think the output's fine. Just slow down with your storytelling a bit. Be more focused and tell smaller stories.
And I think that's the way to go. That's why I think Solo worked really well for me. Even seeing Rogue One, even though it was part of the larger story,
mm-hmm.
and like in the grand scheme of things, it really was. But it was still a smaller story because it had a start and an end, and the middle of the story was getting you to that end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these larger trilogies sometimes end up writing themselves into corners mm-hmm. because they have so much time to work with things. It's like, well, we can add stuff. No, you can't. You don't need to add stuff. You need to tell your story.
And you can add stuff, but I mean, be prepared to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather just like, let's pull away from the Skywalkers. Even if we're in this state, tell stories within this time frame, but just kind of stay away from this core now and just let it breathe.
Well, and I think they've given themselves that opening when they bring up the fact that like, there's four sensitive children that are just out there, just being themselves. Not brought into any sort of Jedi stuff. So, I mean, that opening is there.
Mm-hmm. I want to know about the crime syndicate that is run by Darth Maul. Is he still around in this timeline or not?
Don't know.
The one thing that I did like about all those voices that connected with Rey at the end, there are some characters that are suddenly now canon. The one that was kind of sad was hearing Ahsoka's voice from Ahsoka?
Mm-hmm.
Ahsoka. I think it's Ahsoka. From Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And, oh, there's Ahsoka. Oh, she died. When did that happen?
Well, yeah. We know when that happened because all the Jedi died, right? Except for...
Oh, no, she made it past that.
Did she do?
Yeah. That was in Rebels.
Yeah, I don't know. It's... But I have to say the one time when Leia dies in this one, I was really crying more about Carrie Fisher dying because I was like,
oh yeah, I definitely got misty-eyed during that
scene. I felt very bad because I'm like going, oh yeah, no, this is real.
I wasn't crazy about how they handled it, and it was weird that her body was just lying around the base for
as long
forever
as it was.
Before and it didn't dissipate into the Force until Kylo passed away, so
yeah.
She was waiting for him to go.
Yeah, it's almost like
I think she was connected to him to keep Ben the dominant personality.
And you know what? I have to say, I would have been more interested. Again, like you say, it is like Jedi where Darth Vader has to die. And I think it would have been more compelling if Kylo Ren had survived. Why? Because he's done such terrible things. It would have been more interesting.
Well, story-wise, it would have been way more interesting if he'd survived and had to do something heroic to help these rebels, but he's got to rebuild.
He's got to atone.
He's got to atone. He's got to rebuild trust.
Can you imagine him coming back to the rebel base with Rey?
Mm. Like, oh yeah,
that would have been a much better ending.
Certainly a lot better than it's Skywalker.
Mm.
Yeah, that's dumb as shit.
Well, I mean, it was so cheesy the way she did when she did it. But I get it with all of the connections she had with them through Luke and Leia. Training her and through Kylo as well.
Oh, I
get
it.
Who was a Skywalker. Yeah. So for not knowing her parents and not having a family, she made a new family with these people.
She did, but it just still felt really cheesy.
Oh, it's cheesy and forced as fuck. But
yeah.
I mean, especially when she goes to
Tatooine
to the family ranch that should have been a scorched earth scenario.
Well, that's what I kept wondering about.
Wow, that house looks pretty good for having been blown up by stormtroopers. who came and rebuilt this place?
Yeah, exactly. 40 or 50 years ago, depending on your timeline.
Pretty good.
That doesn't look so bad.
Yeah, but I like the way that I understood what they're trying to do. They wanted to end it where it started.
Yeah,
which I enjoyed the thought behind it. it just, yeah, it, again, one of those
things. I read C-3PO's last line was the same line he first said in A New Hope as well. His first line was his last line.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're just trying to bring it all full circle. And
yeah, but damn, just the Kylo Ren dying thing just bothered me so much because it just seems so half-assed.
Well, it was just, it's part of the circular nonsense that we were expecting all that. We've seen
that,
it time
it's that
time
fanboy
again.
Bullshit where it's like going, oh, well, we have to make it so that he saves the day. No,
well,
we don't.
And then tied and true, like, well, you've done a lot of terrible things, and regardless of your atonement, you're going to have to die for it. That's an old Hollywood writing role. I'm like, well, but it's far more interesting if you don't.
Yes. Absolutely. That's the whole point of it. Like, it's just, to me, now it just seems so lazy.
Yeah, it just seems like escaping your responsibility.
Absolutely lazy.
Yeah.
Well, and it took
you can do whatever you want as long as you die for a good reason. Yeah, and bullshit.
Why does Star Wars always have to have this romantic ending? Like, oh no, this is not going to go well for you. Like, you've got a lot to make up for. And patricide, genocide.
That's the whole thing. Like, can you imagine that, like, that ending? And you talk about, like, the romantic ending. If he survived, I fail to say it. Like, it could be a little bit romantic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was just going to say, they missed up an opportunity to see what would happen with that dyad if...
Yes.
They were working together instead of in opposition.
Yeah, instead of taking the throne of the Sith, what if they...
Create a true new order of
Force users and Jedi. And in a way, I feel like maybe the Jedi, the way they exist, should go away.
Yes.
Well, that's what the whole second movie was about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
You're
right,
Sam.
That's
where I thought they were going to go with this movie, to be honest with you, was that... balance of the Force, the true balance of the Force.
They keep talking about the balance. I mean, Anakin was supposed to bring balance to the Force. Luke was supposed to be the last of the Jedi. And then, well, if all of his trainees died, then, which apparently Kylo had nothing to do with, then what is it? Like, where's the new Force coming from? Like, apparently the Force just makes it happen because, I mean, the original, like, the prequel trilogy... they make it sound like you have to be pretty young to train and develop that. Whereas Luke pretty much shows you, it can just happen. And same with Rey and apparently the Mandalorian as well, because the child certainly possesses an innate ability without training and some pretty major ones. But then again, the child's 50 years old. We don't know what it's learned before it got handed over to
the
Mandalorian.
You can have this whole thing too. Like, that's probably the big problem with the Jedi. Like, they had all these texts and stuff and they've just been doing it the same way for so long and nobody ever questioned it. That's why you needed the balance. That's why you need Kylo and Rey to make that new order. Be like, no, this is not how it works.
And you get the feeling, like, the way this ends, like, Rey's got all of the old books. All the old Jedi books from that Luke had in The Last Jedi. And we even see her run to go check something in this movie. So if she does rebuild the Jedi Order, we're just going to get caught in the same cyclic path that we've always had. And there will still be no balance.
See, and that's why it should have been like the two of them. Because then they could find out like, oh yeah, no, this... some of this is bullshit. It's got to go away. We'll ditch some of this. But like, and also their dyad, if they are so interconnected, why does Kylo Ren just kind of go away and doesn't show up as a Force ghost ever again?
Yeah, I thought it was weird that he didn't show up right at the end on Tatooine with Luke and Leia.
Yes.
In that Force ghost moment where she's...
if they are so intertwined,
yeah,
where did he go?
Unless... when he gave her his Force, he became part of her. But again, that's still never explained. Yeah, I mean, they talk about the light side and the dark side of the Force, but what makes it dark and what makes it light? Is it motivation? Right? Because this is one of the things that bothered me about both the end of Jedi and the end of this movie is strike me down with your hate. Well, what's to stop her from striking you down as a righteous person?
Apparently you can stab the hate right out of your heart.
You can stab it away. Stabby stab.
Or was it the healing that
well, I thought the healing was part of it, but it's...
You got to give Adam Driver credit, because during that scene, his whole face changes, and you could actually see a kinder person rising to the surface. And actually, after that scene, because he gets scarred in Force Awakens, and then after that moment where the hate is stabbed right out of his heart, the scar's gone.
Yes.
So Kylo Ren has died in that moment. Yeah. which I thought was kind of cool. I mean, we get the metaphor.
And they have a whole thing with, like, Jedi's fear, and I'm like, yeah, but you can't get together with anybody or have a relationship. That seems kind of like you're just cutting yourself off. It's a very fearful thing to do. That's always bothered me about the whole Jedi thing.
And then they forced the whole Kylo Ren's dead down your throat with the appearance of Han Solo as well. It's like, yeah. Like we didn't get it in the first place.
Well, like we said, I think that was there to replace scenes that were supposed to go to Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. But it felt like the dialogue was still for Leia.
Hey, you know what? I was surprised that he even was there. So, like, I didn't think we'd see Harrison Ford return again.
Well,
even with his CGI wrinkles.
Yeah.
Gone.
I believe it was only because he was only doing this for Carrie.
I think so too.
Yeah,
because that's what
at
he
least
he
didn't break an ankle this time.
Yes.
No.
Okay, Harrison, we just need you to stand in one spot.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Right. We only need you for one day on set.
One day.
Please
spot.
Don't fly here. We'll get somebody to bring you over.
Yes. After a few crashes, we're not going to let you fly.
You're brittle.
Crap, there's old people we won't let drive anymore.
I do not know how he's going to do an Indiana Jones movie at 80 years old.
I don't want it. No. I love Indiana Jones, and I wouldn't mind seeing more. I'm willing to get into like a James Bond recasting type of scenario. Yeah, I don't want to see that movie. If it's just, I'm not going to be able to buy it. So
no.
Not unless they do something really different.
If
they do something really different with it, yeah.
I only want to see Indiana Jones if it's like a sequel to Bubba Hotep. That's the only way I can buy it.
I don't even know what that means, but I like how you said it.
Indiana Jones in a retirement home.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Indiana Jones in a retirement home trying to save other people from like a mummy. That's Indiana Jones.
Oh, can
that's
be
Bubba Hotep.
Can his sidekick be Betty White?
Absolutely.
We just had, it'll been 2 weeks ago by the time you hear it, but her 98th birthday just happened on the 17th of January.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's Betty White. And if you're doing Bubba Hotep, it's Betty White, but she was originally, like, I don't know, Nina Simone or...
originally Hitler. You have, because Hitler is a common theme between all of the Indiana Jones movies. So so she has to be Hitler.
No, she doesn't.
Come on, Betty White.
No, the mummy has to be Hitler.
The mummy has to be
Hitler. Because
it's got to
be the evil part.
Yes.
Yes.
Betty White has to be.
He's
like,
always got a sidekick.
In Bubba Hotep, it's a guy, he said he was JFK, but they made him black and put him in a nursing home. So in this one, it's like Etta James, and they made her white and put her in a nursing home. You've got to flip it.
There you go.
Okay, I'll go with that.
There's the movie.
And what's the MacGuffin? What's he going after? It's the Wayfinder's in here. He's always got crystal skulls. And...
Oh, this one. Well, at least in Bubba Hotep, it was like something to help defeat the mummy. So, like, he's got to defeat Mummy Hitler with something. Oh, the Ark of the Covenant is just in his nursing home.
Or he's just trying to find that jar of pickles.
Yes.
Yes.
It should be something inane.
Oh, my God. The jar of pickles that just contains the ashes of Jesus.
They were wrapped in the Shroud of Turin.
Yeah. Which the nurses have been using as a duster.
Oh, look at us remaking movies that don't need to be remade.
Come on, Disney. We got it. We just made it.
Well, it's the only way you can justify an 80-year-old Indiana Jones. We're writing it around that concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be the same adventure movies that he's been doing, because he's just not...
No.
That character anymore. He's not that actor anymore.
No.
No.
No. I didn't buy it when he did The Expendables, and even with his CGI'd out wrinkles in this one, I still wasn't buying it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, I think we've covered this one. Not as many comparisons this go around as we did in the previous two, but it was still fun to talk about this movie in general. I don't know where we go from here as far as Star Wars goes. Maybe we'll just do a Star Wars specials. Hopefully... they've gotten this out of their system of treading and retreading old ground within the Star Wars franchise
and
just start telling original stories.
Yes.
Well, that and creating the same ending just to placate people because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, speaking of fan service.
Fan service. That, well, like, that's just, you can't, sometimes they could have had the balls to do it right, and they didn't, and that bothers me.
Yeah, even Lucas in the prequel trilogy is fully, like, no Death Star here.
Yeah.
We haven't built it yet.
Yeah. And
they managed to tell at least a somewhat compelling story. They're not great films, those, that prequel trilogy, but at least they travel their road. They build towards what they to what was going on
well,
in the original
trilogy.
Well,
it was sort of... They were already basically rewritten. They were already written before because of the previous trilogy.
And that's what bugs me. I mean, you could have come in and tweaked what he already had rather than just throw it out in the trash. Mm-hmm. At least the guiding voice would have still been there.
Yeah, I have to agree. He had a vision for the story, and to essentially entirely disregard the last third of that vision is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Right? Because he may not be a great writer in of dialogue, but he is a great storyteller.
Yeah. You know, if you took that story and then had somebody else come in and tweak it and temper some of those more Lucasisms, because I think the original trilogy was tempered by other writers, and his wife certainly had a lot of input at the time. And you can see what that untempered version looked like in the prequel trilogy.
Yes.
And he kind of needed somebody to kind of hold him back at times and say, hey, yeah.
He had to have people saying no.
Yeah.
That was the whole, that prequel trilogy, there were so many times where I was like, oh, you wrote this and nobody said no, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and we can say that about the other famous Star Trek.
Yep.
Gene Roddenberry had the same problem. Without those other voices and other writers tempering him, we get something like Star Trek The Motion Picture, which was this, grandiose big thing, but didn't feel like anything else within the franchise. It's like, this is what untempered Gene Roddenberry is, and maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Yes. And they learned their lesson from it, though.
They did. They absolutely did. Yeah.
Right. Because they gave us a few great Star Trek movies after that.
So utilizing what Lucas had and tweaking it probably would have been a better way to go. But you know what? We did get compelling characters out of this franchise. I like Rey and Finn and Poe Dameron and even BB-8s. Like, we have a nice, cool little crew of characters. Unfortunately, the movies didn't flesh them out in the satisfying way I would have liked.
Absolutely. And the idea, like, again, when we talk about more people getting past what they used to do. Like, we know Finn was a stormtrooper for a while. Like, I mean, he said he mostly did garbage stuff, but it was, they could have done more with that. I would have been very interested.
You know, and hopefully maybe we can get like a Disney Plus miniseries or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't mind, just give us a 6 to 8 episodes of Poe Dameron before he joined the rebellion there.
Give us a Poe and Finn love story. Let's just do it. Let's just go for it. Let's not shy away from where they're like, oh, we can't do that in Star Wars. Yes, we can.
You know, a buddy-buddy movie would be cool, too, between those two.
So fun.
You know, clearly we're not going to get the homoeroticism that we
I would have loved that. But they had the one bit, too, where he's like going, I need you as another general. Oh, thank you, by the way. Like, they're little
but
bits.
They have great chemistry together.
Absolutely.
And regardless of what they do with those characters, I wouldn't mind seeing those actors together again.
Yes.
In something else. Some Star Wars side story set within that timeline. Before, after, whatever. But
and bring Rose in.
I wouldn't mind seeing more of that. Yeah, Rose.
Let Rose do some
Rose
stuff.
Rose didn't get her just desserts in this one. You bring in a new character and throw her down her throats in Last Jedi, and then we finally get a taste for her, and you don't do anything.
Yeah, so you just dump her.
You dump her into the background.
Well, and that was, again, partly due to Carrie Fisher's passing, because apparently a lot of her screen time was supposed to be with Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when they had to rejig everything, it all kind of got lost.
Yeah. That's a shame. It is a shame, but hopefully that character will turn up somewhere else, and I'm sure Disney Plus has got a lot of plans for expansion. If their plan is to do the High Republic in the film franchise, then maybe Disney Plus can expand in other areas that of familiar timelines within the films.
Well, for sure. I mean, and think about it. We've got The Mandalorian, which is in between.
Yeah, it's just after Jedi. Yeah. I'm not sure how many years, but it's a few years after Jedi.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure either.
And that's great. There's this big window of time after Jedi before Force Awakens. That's a long period of time, and where we can see the New Republic and when it falls again to the First Order. There's a whole swath of stuff there.
And they're already establishing the First Order in The Mandalorian.
Right? You can see the seeds of it being planted.
For sure.
With Werner Herzog there.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the thing we haven't talked about at all today is the fact that in the universe that we see in the Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker trilogy, there is a Force user who exists that now that they don't reference because obviously he didn't exist when they started writing these, but we have the child. Mm. He's going to be a teenager about this time now.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Well, depending on how, I mean, it took 50 years for him to get where he's at. So he, I don't know, might be around.
Might be five.
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah.
As far as physical age goes, a toddler.
Because, I've been reading, he's probably, 50 years old, but, he's developmentally only a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we think. I mean, look at how Yoda pretended in Empire before he revealed who he actually was and how intelligent he was.
Oh, I love that.
It would be hilarious if, season five of The Mandalorian and he just starts talking.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I've been just waiting to see what kind of person you are.
Yeah, exactly. I was I didn't know if I could trust you.
I'm kind of hoping they don't do it because I like the dynamic the way it is, but I'm not sure how long they'll be able to
pull that off.
Yeah. I assume streaming, people seem to lose interest in streaming series after about three or four seasons. So I assume that that's how long that show will go. But you never know. Star Wars is a different breed entirely, and those rules might not apply.
They may not. And you know what? We'll get a second season.
Oh, we're definitely getting a second season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But maybe then they move The Mandalorian into a different series even, right? So with
That would be a great way to keep expanding. If you're going to work within this window, Mandalorian turns up in once or twice in a different series, and now you have this cool little franchise. If the Disney Plus movies are happening in this middle time,
you actually have a Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Well, that's what TV shows are kind of doing now. American Horror Story does that all the time. It's the same universe, but different stories are getting told.
I'd be cool with that if they did that. And they're clearly taking that pattern from the Marvel universe, and they said that the High Republic's going to be formatted in that way, but maybe they've already started doing that elsewhere within this middle time.
Would be cool.
Well, so much to talk about with Star Wars, and we can probably go on all day.
Yeah. I just have to say one thing, and I didn't mention this to you in the theater. I'm when they showed the Ewoks at the end, I'm Warwick Davis better be in one of those fucking suits.
He was.
He was?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, because I'm
thankfully he didn't be in that very long. He's not a spring chicken anymore either.
He isn't. But I mean,
I noticed
he should be there.
Ian McDiarmid's makeup was a whole lot lighter this go around.
Yeah.
He probably didn't want to go through all that again.
My gosh. Yeah, I know.
Keep him under the hood a lot. And it looked like there was more CGI enhancement to his face rather than practical makeup.
And a lot more shadow.
Yeah. But even then, you could see there was less makeup there. It didn't quite match up with the way we saw him in Jedi.
And they explained that away partially because of his resurrection, he wasn't a complete.
Well, I mean, whatever resurrection went straight to his face. It wasn't so good for his hands. But
that sucked a lot. But you know what? When you're starting to clone stuff by just stuffing them all in the same vat, those little animal creatures you put them in water and they expand. That's what I feel they've been doing with their clones.
Yeah, they're pretty sloppy with their smokes, aren't they? Just one tube. We put all our money up in those new Star Destroyers. We can only afford a tank. You got to share tanks with the Snokes there.
They just stuffed them all in.
Really? One tank.
They cut corners, those Sith, when it comes to the cloning.
Right.
And this is why you get shitty clones that you can't use to put your spirit into.
That's right. If you're using these low-bid contractors.
If you're half-assing your cloning, you're not going to get the product you want.
Yeah. I just need, some Star Wars special where it's just the accountants.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, that's not in the budget. That's not in the budget.
We can't do that.
I bet you that's I think there's got to be a Robot Chicken episode that at least tackles that.
Yeah. Why can't we do it? Well, you kept your fortunes on the Death Star.
Yeah. You put all this in there. And do you know how much we lost on this? Oh, or there's a Death Star bit where it's but this is a tax dodge, right? As long as this doesn't work, I can use this as a write-off.
And if it does work, I still win.
I still win. So yeah, that's the actual accounting that happened with the Death Star. Darth Vader had too much money looking for a tax shelter.
It is, yeah. They told the universe it was the Death Star because tax dodge was too on the nose.
Yep. A planet can't dodge.
And actually far more ominous.
Yeah.
A planet can't dodge this, but taxes can.
Hey, you want to know why your property taxes went up? That's why. The new moon that you have there. That is no moon. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. We've talked about enough about Star Wars, and we probably didn't talk nearly enough about Star Wars. I know the fan base out there for Star Wars is very passionate. Please don't write us if you're mad at whatever we said. It's our opinions, and you have yours, and we have ours. And trust me, we do love the franchise, regardless of shitting on it at times during this episode or any of the other ones. Let us say our piece and be part of the conversation in an intelligent way, and don't come back with some negativity. Just tell us from your side of the opinion, what did we miss? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? It's funny that I hear a lot of negativity about it on the internet, but in real life, I'm not hearing a lot of negativity about the movie.
No, I really enjoyed it.
It's good. And like when we say anything kind of bad about it, really it's out of frustration that we expected more for something that we love. Like for the characters we love.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like I was asked and somebody said, let me guess, you hated it. I'm like, no. I mean, I didn't love it, but I thought it was all right. Like it's entertaining. I'll watch it again. For sure. I mean, I love those characters. Mm-hmm. And, okay, I didn't quite get what I want out of it, but I still love seeing those characters on screen. Mm-hmm. I still love the universe. I'm trying to catch up because I missed a lot of the animated stuff, and now that Disney Plus has Clone Wars, I'm going through that, and then I'll move on to Rebels and whatever was after that. I think there's three different shows on there that I have yet to see, so there's still lots of Star Wars for me to digest. And in that time, I'm sure we'll get some new stuff from Disney on Disney Plus, and I'm not sure what the timeline is for whatever they have next. I'm guessing we'll have a couple years before they bring it back to theaters, but it could be sooner. It's hard to say. I mean, they keep these things in under wraps as best they can. I mean, this one is at least everybody was expecting these ones coming, so I felt like the standalones, the Star Wars stories, the Rogue One and Solo, were at least Rogue One was a bit of a surprise to me at the time. And when Solo came along, I'm like, oh, this is what they're going to do. They're going to alternate.
Yeah, and that was the plan.
And then until Solo failed.
Yeah.
Which is weird because apparently this one's doing worse than Solo. But, you know, $1 billion, that's a failure now.
Yes.
No, I think that did okay. It's a $200 million movie. It did fine.
Yeah.
I know, right? What are these standards that we're having to
got to $1 billion, the slowest. I'm like, really? It's $1 billion.
I got $1 billion, the slowest? Oh, my God. Like, that's like saying, like, oh, I won that $1 million in the lottery in the slowest amount of time. Like, I just didn't cash it in right away, so. Like,
clearly people are going to this movie multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not a bomb. It's not a disaster. I don't think Solo was either, but I don't think it crossed a billion. So.
No, well, Solo suffered from multiple director syndrome and too much media attention on it.
But you know what? This movie did too. Yeah. This movie lost its director, but they didn't suffer the same negativity. I think they kept it quieter this go around. There was way too much publicity.
From Solo.
It was media that really
So people were way soured on Solo long before it came out. Yeah. And they had already made a decision not to see it,
which
is a shame. Go see it. It's fun. It's a fun heist movie.
Yeah. And get over the fact that it's not Harrison Ford, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not really supposed to be.
I mean,
We decided this.
Yeah. I mean, yes, personality quirks. If he'd been doing an impression, I might have not liked it as much. Mm-hmm. With James Bond, we've had different actors. They bring their own personalities into the characters when they take over the role, and we seem to be fine with it. So get over it.
Yeah. And also, I have a challenge for everyone out there. Think of yourself back when you were in your 20s. Were you the same person you are now? No.
Yeah.
Change as you get older. You just do.
I'm really hoping we can continue on with that Solo story that they presented, because we're still don't know what's going on with Darth Maul and that crime syndicate. So I'd like to see more of Solo in that universe, or even some of those other characters. I heard that they might do a young Lando movie, but
yes,
that's a fairly high demand actor you've got there. So
you really do, but I don't know if that'll happen.
Well, we'll see. Because I really enjoyed him. I think he really captured what Billy Dee did with it, but in a different way.
Yeah.
He really captured the spirit of the character, as did the actor who played Han Solo.
Yeah.
Besides, and high demand or not, if you want to make a Star Wars movie and you want that person, you can pretty much get them, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You're not going to be lost.
Yeah, so let us know what you'd like to see in the future of Star Wars at Invasion the Remake on Twitter, Invasion the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and invasiontheremake@gmail.com. Follow us at all those places and tell your friends to follow us. Leave your comments, your suggestions, your corrections, and fan challenges for our remake episodes. Mm-hmm. Just get involved in the invasion. And let your voices be heard.
Yeah, and if there's anything else you can think of that's like kind of a stealthish remake, I'm sure there's lots of movies you can think of where it's like, this, I feel like I've seen this before, and then you remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's been done.
We got something planned for you that falls under those veins next week.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to tell you just yet. You'll have to join us next week on Invasion of the Remake. Until then, I've been Jason.
I'm always Sam.
And I continue to be Trish.
And we are out of here.
Your death be the final word in the story of rebellion.